Good morning. Good morning. It's Thursday, and I'm happy to be here again. I don't get to spend a whole lot more of these Thursdays with you, though. Probably. But for those that I am here, I'm excited to be here. Amen?
Amen.
And what makes me even more excited, as every Thursday, is I have brought to you another AFCO student. And today, the AFCO student is Sylvia. She's going to share a little bit more about where she is from. And I also brought along Nita. Nita is accompanying Sylvia, so you'll get a chance to meet both of them as we go through the office. So Sylvia, come on up.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning. It's an honor to be here, actually, because, I didn't think I would be standing here to tell my testimony. I would like to ask for a word of prayer before I start. Dear Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the blessings we get every day from you. So many things you do for us, and we can do a lot for others too, dear Lord, but you have to guide us. Now guide me this morning when I tell my testimony to the Amazing Facts staff, and let it not be my words, but your words speaking through me, dear Lord. Thank you for these blessings and what you're about to do this morning, and I'd like to thank you for this and pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I will start off by last year, August. I was talking to friends of mine in Curaçao. Now, I have learned that most of you here in the US don't know where Curaçao is. So let me explain a little bit. Curaçao is a tiny little island in the Caribbean. It's a part of the ABC Islands. It's Dutch Kingdom territory. You have Aruba, Curaçao, and Bonaire. And they're just above Venezuela, so it's just above South of America. And every time when I speak to people and they ask me where you're from Curaçao, huh? What? Where is that? So By now I know I have to explain where I'm from. So, being from Curaçao, I was talking to my friends there, and we come together every Saturday night, actually. They started talking about AFCO, and I said, AFCO, what is that? And, well, I have television, I watch 3ABN, I watch Amazing Facts, Doug Bachelor, I mean, everyone knows him, everyone knows Amazing Facts, but I never had heard of AFCO. So, when they started talking about AFCO and what AFCO is, I went to the website. I was excited too, but excited for them. And they said, we are thinking of attending this AFCO seminar like next semester. And I'm like, okay, well, good for you. And I'm like, but I'm going to miss you guys. And 4 months, wow, that's quite some time. So I said, I'm really going to miss you. Well, you don't have to. Why not? Because you can attend too. And I'm like, no, not me, because I have a family, and you know the excuses come up, like you have a family, responsibilities, I had a job, so no, I could not do this, so I stopped thinking about it. I didn't even think about it, but due to them, well, and then they brought it up again, the 11th of November 2011, I will never forget that date, that's 11-11-11, so I got a Bible, and it was not just a Bible, it was the Remnant Study Bible, the King James Version, and coming from Curaçao, my native language is Dutch, and Curaçao we speak Papiamento, and now I get an English King James Version. So I'm like, whoa, how am I going to do this? But okay, I'm going to read this Bible, and you need that for AFCO, my friend said. So I was like nervously laughing. No, I'm not going to AFCO, but okay, so I left it like that. And, well, at that point, my life was actually not what it should be. My husband and I were separated for quite some time already. And, well, my children were a little bit rebellious. They were 19, 21. And it was just not like a normal family life. And due to that, I was thinking, well, maybe I can make a change in my life. And maybe I can go to AFCO. But, It left my mind again. But then I thought about my work and the long working hours. I was working as a manager at an offshore bank, and finances, investments. So it's really long working days. From 8 till 7, I would get home like 7:30 or something each day. And I had to cook, and I had to clean, I had to do everything at home also. So I was like really tired, had no job satisfaction whatsoever anymore. So then my friend called me. That was later in November, beginning of December. She called me and she was so excited. You have to watch 3ABN now. Now, go to your television. I was like, okay, I'll turn it on. And she says there is a testimony on. And the testimony was from Magda Rodriguez on a GYC 2010. And she was giving her testimony of the experience of surrender. And it was basically my story. That's what my friend told me. So I'm like, my story? Wait a minute, I need to see this. So I turn on the television, was like watching it for 3 minutes, the telephone ring. Not now, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I'll call you back. And then another telephone call. I'm like, no, I want to see this. And it was really like, I was not able to watch that testimony. So I said, I'm going to the website, I'm going to watch it on the internet. And I got to Audioverse and I got to listen to it, really. And it really touched my heart, what she did in her life, actually giving up her well-paid job and doing work for the Lord. And I was still like, okay, that may be her, but still not me. So I was thinking about AFCO again, talking to my friends again, but still doubting. And this doubting spirit was always in me. And then my friends had applied in the meanwhile. And I got this message that was around January, I think, 2012, this year. I got the message, resign from your job and take another direction in your life. I was like, okay. But it was like, I thought, no, that cannot be from God. You cannot just resign from your job. It was a well-paid job, by the way. And a few weeks later, that same voice again. And then it said, sell your house, go to the Netherlands and take care of your father. It was like the commission in Matthew 28, like go do and teach, you know. I was like, wait a minute, this is a command, kind of a command of God. And my father was ill, is still ill, he has Alzheimer's, so it was not so weird to think about taking care of him with my family all messed up. And well, I could be going to my father and take care of him. I'm the only child. My mother's not alive anymore, and he is alone in his house. And if I could take care of him, that would be good. He would not be sent to a home or something like that. That was about to be happening the end of this year. So I started thinking of that. I said, whoa, that's serious. And, you know, while looking for excuses, I knew that God was calling me. And I think, I don't know if what's your experience, but you know when God is calling you. You just know it. I don't know, you cannot speak about a feeling because it's not a mere feeling, but you just sense it. And I had that feeling. And then I got to Isaiah 6, verse 8, where it says, whom shall I send? And then I was reading the Bible, Lord, send me. And I'm like, wait a minute, I need to be sent like that? And I was contemplating about that text, read the whole part, and then the lips that had to be with the coal. And I was like, wow, I'm nothing, actually. I need to be cleansed, and then you can send me. So I was like, I cannot go to Holland, take care of my father, do what? Because I need to be doing something. I didn't have a job anymore, or at least I was thinking of not having a job. And there I was, like, what do I need to do exactly, and how do I need to do it? Now, the story of Moses has always intrigued me. Moses was called by God, and then Moses was not willing to go. He was like, I cannot talk. So I was like the same, I cannot do that. I don't know so much stuff about the Bible. No, it's not for me. I need to learn that still. But God said, you need to go. And I'm like, okay. I said, if I need to go to the Netherlands back, we came here in Curaçao, living for 17 years in Curaçao, because you sent us from Holland to Curaçao to educate our children to not have that secular life of Holland, of Europe. I don't know if you're familiar with what is happening in Europe, but the Netherlands and Germany are called like one of the most secular countries in Europe. So do I need to go there? And I'm like, again, back to Egypt? It was for me back to Egypt. So that was not really on my agenda. And I prayed again. And I did not have a full picture of what I needed to be doing, but I knew one thing. I had to resign from my job, so that's what I did. The 27th of April, I resigned from my job, and my colleagues were actually happy for me. They knew that I was, well, going through rough times, but also didn't like my job anymore. And I want to just make a side note of that. My my job was to set up a center of excellence for the operations department of my bank. And that would mean that we would do the whole administration of the territory in the Caribbean, 22 banks of where I worked. So we got to do the administration. So I was looking forward to some great promotion, actually. And then I read again, or I saw the AFCO, the front page actually of the website of AFCO, and I saw COE, AFCO, AFCOE. Wait a minute, Center of Excellence. I made that connection like, no, I need to go to this Center of Evangelism. The E was not excellence, but evangelism. And I said, and they're operating for 45 years? I'm 45. I said, wait a minute. This is really what I need to be doing. So I applied. Didn't have any money. Didn't know where I would get the money because the house was to be sold. But, well, yeah, the house would be sold. But there was a credit freeze in Curaçao. And if you know about finances, that means that there is a crisis actually on the island. The banks could not loan any money to customers because they didn't have any, the liabilities were bigger than the assets actually. So there was a freeze until September. How am I going to sell my house in this period? This is not going to happen. My car, my house actually. So, and I resigned still. So anyway, then my farewell party was a very, well, it was a testimony on itself, actually, because everyone knows that I'm an Adventist. We have 75 colleagues, and I have a team. I had a team of 35 people, and they had organized something for me. So when they organized this farewell party, I was so flabbergasted at what they did. They actually invited our church choir to sing at my work. One of my colleagues, he practiced with them for 3 weeks without me knowing it. And then he started singing. I'm like, huh? What is happening here? The choir comes up. My colleague, he's not part of my choir. What is this? So I was like, wow, did they do that? And I was like, for me? Wow. And I felt so special on that day. But then still, I wanted to give them a word of encouragement. So it was, for me, I didn't want it to be about me, but about giving a testimony or giving them something to think about. So that was actually my goal with that afterwards, because I didn't know that up front. So I told them that I'm going to AFCO, I'm doing this, doing that. Wow, good for you. Because, you know, I was working, actually doing, while doing, sitting at work, not doing my work, sitting at work, doing work for the church. And although that might sound good, it is not good, because you need to render to Caesar what Caesar's, and you cannot do that. That's not integrity. So I said, no, I'm not doing this anymore, doing church work during my boss's hours. So actually, few of my colleagues knew that. And I said, I'm not doing this anymore, because that would give them an interest to do their own stuff in the working hours, even if it's my church and they would do other things. I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. So I said, Lord, if you want me to work for you, I'm going to do that not in working hours, but just as my job, my future job. So in the meanwhile, the application was in. I got, I bombarded the registrar with questions from here to Tokyo, like, how is this going to work? How is that? How much this? And how will this go? I went to the website, listened to testimonies, watched testimonies, everything about AFCO I knew before I came, I thought. And then the application was accepted. And then it was like, What? Whoa, I'm accepted. And now what? Because I don't have any money yet. So I prayed about it. I had three requirements that God needed to do for me. And I told God, you need to, my daughter, my youngest daughter, would go study and go to the university in the Netherlands. So she had to pass her school exams. That was one of them. Otherwise, I found that I could not go away and leave my two daughters. I could leave one, but not all, both of them. So I was like, she needs to pass her exams, and I need to sell my house and my car in a period of credit freeze. And we need to get the visa to stay in the U.S. for 4 months. Okay, and I said, that's not going to happen anyhow. So I was like, you know, I will get some kind of answer there that I don't need to go to AFCO. And then Denise sent an email, Denise Bullock, she sent an email like, the period of paying the tuition has been extended to the 2nd of August. I'm like, what? Oh, I can pay later. Oh, that's good, because it had to be in by the 19th of July, and I was still had not sold my house. So then my managing director, he asked me, did you sell the house already? I said, one of these days, just before I left work. I had resigned already, but I had 2 months of, I don't know how you call it, you still need to work. And so in those those 2 months, he told me, he asked me, did you sell your house already? I said, no. Well, bring them to the bank. This bank? I mean, I'm resigning, bringing people to the bank. Yeah, do that. They got, the people that are buying my house are Seventh Day Adventists too, and they got a mortgage, and a better mortgage than at the other banks, because the other banks wouldn't give actually a mortgage, and they did it for them, for me, I don't know. Anyway, so that happened, and I'm like, whoa, means my house is sold. My daughter passed exams, by the way, that was another part. 14th of June, she heard that she passed her exams. Oh no, the 27th of June, actually. And that was my father's birthday also. So all came together again, 27th. Oh. Again, my father in the picture. I was like, okay, this is good, Lord. I think you need me to go to AFCO. So I was arranging the last hurdle we needed to take. Oh, I need to tell also that at work, due to the mortgage that they gave to the other people and me not having the money yet, because all had to pass through the notary and all those paper stuff, you know, it's still not finalized, by the way, until today. And they said, how much money do you need for AFCO? Well, $5,000. I was like, and they said, okay, we can give you an advance. Huh? So I'm like, how does that work? I'm not working here anymore, like, you know. And they said, no, but we can do that. I was like, whoa. And then my friend said, but you needed to ask for the ticket also. So I was excited, oh, the work will pay for me. And then they said, but you need to pay for the ticket. Do you have money for the ticket and everything? Oh, no, I didn't ask them that. But I'm not going to ask them. That's rude. You cannot do that. I'll make something up. I will get the money somewhere else. So I went to the bank. It was still my bank, but I didn't work there anymore. So I went there as a visitor, and I came to sit with my colleague, and she said, oh, we're going to do this for you. We make the transfer to Amazing Facts, so don't you worry about it. So I gave them the paper. They did everything, paid it. And do you need any more money? Yes, I need any more money. Can I ask so much money? I said, well, the ticket, and maybe I need some extra personal. How much? I was like, oh, I don't know, 3,000? Okay, just a minute. She was really like 5 minutes she took to get an approval. She came back. You can take your $3,000 cash from the cashier. I'm like, what? So tuition paid, this paid. I got cash, I got my ticket. Well, didn't get my ticket, but I had to book my ticket, so I got the money. I said, wow! So, wow, I need now my visa! Oh, my visa! That was another thing. We had to request through the website of the U.S. consulate in Curacao, and it was the beginning of July. We had to request for the visa, and they said on the website it's 24 or 23 days that you can make your first appointment. I said, no, that's too late. So, how does this work? Because if we have to be there by the 2nd of August, I need to have my visa earlier. So, so send Denise an email. I think we will be a bit later, but we have trouble with the visa and so on. It takes so long because of lots of students in that period are requesting a visa. So that's the reason that it takes so long in the period of August, July, August. So, okay. Nothing happened yet. I was like, I need to go. So now I was full confident that I needed to go. So now fight for the visa. And then we said, okay, we can go to Venezuela. Venezuela, you would travel there to Caracas. And then you have, in one day, you would have your visa. And you get your passport that same day back. Well, the second day, actually. I was like, Venezuela, Caracas, that's a dangerous city. I don't want to go there. I went there once and I would not advise you to go there ever. So I was like, no, I don't want to go there. So no. And then we looked at the websites. We were looking at the website almost every 2 days to see if there was a change in the date of making the first appointment. No change. 23 days, 25 days, 24 days, every time up to the 15th of July. We checked, didn't check anymore. We will go to Venezuela. Anyway, talking about it again with my friend who also attends EFCO, by the way, now. She said, maybe you can go to the website once more. I went to the website once more. Will you believe, the 22nd of July, I went to the website. It said, within 3 days is your first appointment. I was like, whoa, 23rd, 24th, 25th, oh, Wednesday, I would have my first appointment. Yeah, I could do that. Called my friend, made the appointment through the internet, and we got our appointment. They called us. You cannot come on Wednesday. You can come on Thursday. Well, 1 day later, not so bad. But then the website said it will take 2 weeks for your passport to come back because they send it to Venezuela. It comes back with your visa in it. It takes approximately 2 weeks. So we were still late. We would still be late. So we were like, no, yeah, whatever, it will happen like this. So we went to the US consulate and I took my bunch of papers to defend myself. Why would I want to go to the US and what am I doing there? They didn't ask anything of that, anything. They just said, oh, so you're going to Holland afterwards. Okay, that's it. And then I sat there for 10 minutes. The man came back. Ma'am, can you come up? Okay, good. I'm like, oh, what is happening now? And he said, your visa has been approved. Huh? I'm like, okay. And you can pick it up on Tuesday. Huh? So I was like, Tuesday? That's like 4 days from now. We were there on Thursday. So it was like over the weekend and then Tuesday. Huh? But the website said 2 weeks. And then he said, oh, yeah, that's a long time ago. We do it ourselves now. We don't do that through Venezuela anymore. Whoa, I can still be on time. The 1st of August, I got my visa, my friends too. And the 2nd of August, we had to fly. The 1st of August in the morning, picked up the passport, went to the travel agency, booked the trip for the 2nd of August in the morning. At 5 o'clock, we were at the airport flying to EFCO. So we were so happy. And I'm really so thankful what God did for me. For me, my friends, and I now really am convinced that this is what I need to be doing. But I still don't know what I will be doing after EFCO. So I need to find out during the next 3 months. But I'm sure he has a plan, and that plan will crystallize also over the next 3 months. So this was my testimony to you, and I really hope that it was of encouragement, because the things I heard testimonies which were of encouragement for me. So I really hope that this is something for you to think about. If God calls you, you need to go. So can we close with a prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for working through our lives and everything you do for us through our lives. Testimonies are necessary to build up our faith, dear Lord, and we can listen to any testimony, but when it becomes our own, then it's for real, dear Lord. Thank you so much for being able to share what you did for me, and may it be of encouragement. And I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit who is guiding us into all truth every day again. thank you once more and bless the people that now go to work, hear the amazing facts, and be with them throughout the day. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.